And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope it's a fantastic start to your week, start to your day so far. We're ready to rock and roll. JoJo, what's up?
Just recovering from the Grammys. You know, I took the red eye in this morning and
good
got
trip.
In. Yeah, great trip. But that's thanks good. For asking. So it was a good time last night. But you were on the road too this weekend, right?
I was. I was in Chicago, so that was a lot of fun. But you, the Grammys. So, like, what did they have you do this year? Were you parking cars or were you
seat filler?
Seat filler. Okay, nice.
They said, we need somebody. We need somebody who is almost as big as Jelly Roll, but not nearly as talented. And I was like, hey, where do I sign up? So I submitted my resume on Indeed, and next thing you know,
When you say big, do you mean big as in like popular or big as in fat?
That big as in large. Okay. That way, yes. No. So I saw, you know, I sit next to Paul McCartney and all that stuff. So it was a good time.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you two could. Did you work out?
Well, we longtime friends. We had a little problem back in the early 80s, but we're good now. And so when he comes to town, we kind of say hi to each other, and that's about it. No, it was. Did you you didn't watch any of it, did you?
I watched it a little bit.
It's good. I felt really bad for Luke Combs. You watched the Grammys last night because Tracy Chapman comes out and sings Fast Car and everybody's going crazy and crying. She's crying. It's emotional. It sounds great. And then he starts singing and you could tell there were crickets. Yeah. And I felt bad for him because he does a great job on his own on that song. And it was just a lot of crickets you could kind of hear when he sings. Then she starts singing again and people go crazy. And then he would sing again and just didn't have the same effect. But, you know, overall, good for him. And it was great. I mean, she's so iconic and just so beautiful and wonderful and a great singer, guitar player. So that was kind of cool last night.
Well, it was a, you know, the parts I saw were really cool. Obviously, Taylor Swift continues to just own the world, wins an award, does an acceptance speech, says, I have a secret I've been keeping. And we're like, oh, no.
And I thought it. I was like.
I thought it was something with Kelsey. Yep. Like that. That's what I thought she was. Well, I thought she was going to say she was pregnant. That's what I thought she was going to say. But
no,
I did.
Did you really?
I did. Like in the moment, I'm like, oh.
Has calculated and businesslike she is and marketing.
Yeah, right.
There's no. But that's interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, like that was just the first thought. But then a new album. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Perfect.
Oh man.
Perfect time to announce it. And all that, but so there you go. So she owns the Grammys.
She does,
once again.
Man. She does own the Grammys. Oh, that's dear. I saw there were some people upset that she took the award. Like Celine Dion presented her with the big award, and she kind of blew Celine Dion. I like the little drama that goes on the social media channels.
Yeah, the little drama that people create because they want drama. That yeah. Probably isn't there at all, but it's like, oh, let's create it.
Oh, I guess so, man. But, oh, pregnant.
Like you and that, Ricky.
I mean, who?
Ricky.
Yeah, there's a drama there, that SOB. I'll take him down. Because I guess Kelsey and them are landing in Kansas City, and not a good weekend for Patrick Mahomes, right?
Not his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you need going into the Super Bowl is a little distraction. Like that.
His third DUI. I mean, that's not good. And I mean, you're Patrick Mahomes' dad.
I know.
Just call.
And he was an athlete, right?
He played for the National Sounds or the Express or whoever
yeah.
it was back in the day
yeah.
here in town.
And he was a baseball player.
Yeah. So it was just, again, call. Just make a phone call. This should not happen in 2024. This should not. So I don't know, but it's, you know, he'll get all the questions and. But I don't think there'll be a few because Media Day is such a hodgepodge disaster question wise. So there'll be somebody from some, you know, K-Babel here. Hey, Patrick, hey. How about your dad?
So did she say, I missed this part if she said this. Did she say she had been holding on to this for 2 years, the secret? Somebody texted in and
could
said,
be, yeah.
Scott says she held the secret for 2 years that she was pregnant. LOL, I have questions. I missed that part.
Yeah, that would be something. That'd be quite interesting. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And now the whole thing is now, will she make it back? I mean, there's all these breakdowns.
Did you see that the freaking embassy sent out this notice that's like, you know, if she leaves at a certain time, she'll be fine. And they were using, like, her songs in this whole release. And it's
oh,
just
my
like,
goodness.
I'm like, just
because she plays Saturday night. It's like, well, she might back.
There's a 17-hour time difference.
And that's why I said, let's sit down and discuss the international date line. And then somebody's like, well, this really happened on social media. So we need to discuss the international date line. If you know what that is, you go back to your history class. And somebody said, well, she's already dating Travis Kelce. And I was like, this is our youth. This is our youth going forward. That you do not know what the international dateline is, and you think it's because you're dating Travis Kelce. Okay, but anyway, like her, she can get back like Saturday night, like at 9. Look, we told you about this, right? To the Super Bowl. It's not like she's flying standby on Southwest.
Right.
You know, not get her B boarding pass. I mean, she's on
She was not with us this morning boarding from Chicago.
She's on a chartered jet that's going to fly directly from Tokyo to Las Vegas. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
And y'all can get all tizzy next weekend when they show her 3 times during the game for 18 seconds.
Oh, and then if they win, then everybody's going to be like, is he going to propose on the field and all that stuff, which I don't think he's going to do.
But what if he has that plan? You know, he likes the dramatics too. Don't let him fool you.
The drama with him will be, and we were talking about this over the weekend, that would make total sense. If they win, that's 3 rings for him.
Correct.
I mean, we already know he's going to Canton. Like, I don't think there's any argument that he's going to Canton.
Okay.
His brother's going to Canton. I think they both could be first ballot. Would it not make sense for him to call it and then they go in together?
Oh,
and be
man.
The first brothers inducted together?
But what if that blows up in your face?
It could, but I mean, like, if we're looking at this objectively as people that know football, and if we had a vote – would you not say that both have the resume that they're in ballot?
I think so, especially. But centers normally don't get in on first ballot.
They don't.
Problem.
But I mean, we've also talked about that the Hall of Fame was made for the offensive line too. So
yeah, I mean, it'd be great. But wouldn't you? I don't know. I would think you get it this year. I'll get it next year, or vice versa. I don't know. I mean, Kelce now, Jason Kelce is. Mentioned that, you know, that's not kind of the way he wanted to go out, one more shot to go down there. So who knows? I mean, it's all like, think about it now, it's all done. Like, think all
is
that
he
work
a free agent or does he have
it's a great question.
Time left?
It's a great question. We all don't. We don't have much time left.
Yeah, true.
That'd be great. I mean, if he proposes to her, but what if they lose? Then he's like, hide the ring. Keep the ring out of here. Don't put the ring up
there.
There's
so many storylines that – will be coming up all week. Jared Stillman's going to be live from Radio Row, so he's in Vegas. And I believe today he's got Christopher Mad Dog Russo coming on the program at 5, so that should be
He's
good.
On the screen behind you right now.
He sure is. So, and he's in Vegas. There he is.
Yep.
I
don't know who that guy is. Is he good?
Mad Dog?
Yeah.
Mike and the Mad Dog?
Really? I'm chasing Big Joe, man. I'm locked in here. Is he good?
Yeah.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Where are they based out of?
New York.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're not together anymore, but they were like the biggest
sports. Oh, Mike Francesa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, I just know Mike Francesa would fall asleep on air.
Yeah.
Some of the great videos of him falling asleep. You ever fallen asleep interviewing somebody?
No.
Not even close?
when I was behind that glass?
Right.
A couple times, maybe. But. But.
I've never come close. No, I mean, that's just...
You know, doing mornings for a while was tough for me because I was living the mid-20-somethings life, and then I have to get up at 4 a.m. and come in and do a show.
Yeah, trust me. I can attest to that, too, as well.
Go pick Pogue up and drive him
then
in.
Then one day you turn into an old man. You're an old man. You're like, the good old days.
I know.
For all that.
Speaking of our buddy Greg Pogue, I think he's bringing somebody by tomorrow.
That's what I understand, right?
Your buddy. Have you ever done the impression for Jeff Fisher?
I have.
So he's cool with it.
Well, I mean, it was a long time ago, and we had some
libations. But it'll probably happen tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't take the focus away from if Jeff Fisher does come in tomorrow. 10:30, right?
Yeah.
If he comes in tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Super Bowl preps. I think he's been part of... Two. I mean, he's with the Bears. He didn't play in '85, but and then of course
he was kind of like
he broke his ankle, entered reserve. I think he was on with
Ryan's. Like the pro equivalent of a GA at that point.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like
then,
quality control,
and then bounced with Buddy Ryan to the Eagles, and then went to the Rams for a year, and then to the in '91. I think he was like the defensive coordinator or something.
Yeah,
and then he came to the Oilers
'92, '93,
and then.
Because he was – well, was he on that team in 93 that lost to Buffalo?
I don't think so. Where was he? He might have been with the Rams in 92-93. Then he went – I think he was. Or the Niners. He was at the Niners. I think he was.
You better get it right, fat boy.
I think I think he was at the Niners, right? 92-93, because they didn't win a championship.
Yes, that is correct. He was the DB's coach, 92-93, and then he came here in 94, was the defensive coordinator for half the year, and then Jack Pardee got fired.
And Floyd, Floyd T walked down the hallway and
yeah.
said, hey, Jeff, you got a minute?
Yeah, and yeah. said, you're the interim.
You're the interim.
Yeah, and then Floyd, you know, has told the story that he went through the whole process and interviewed people, and it was like one day he just kind of realized that, why am I interviewing people? I have the guy.
Right, yeah. You
know, and the rest, they say, is history.
Yeah, so. And became a nice love affair. So that's always the thing was like, did Fisher become the head coach in 95, the first full season, or was the interim in 94? I gave him credit for 94.
Yeah, I mean, I think he won three games down the stretch and or something like that. I mean,
Then that's when they were transitioning out of the run and shoot to, yeah. that's when they found Wycheck. In 94-95.
Yep. And they're in, you know, free agency had just begun. Yep. So they, you know, had to blow everything up. And
God, I love the run and shoot back then. Fantasy football wise, the run and shoot was amazing because you had Warren Moon, you had Ernest Givens, you had Haywood Jeffries, Webster Slaughter came over. There was a lot of fun teams back then.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll have Jeff Fisher in with us tomorrow. Brett Kern going to join us at 9:30, Jonathan Hutton at 10:30 today. As there is so much to get to, it is Super Bowl week officially, as both the 49ers and the Chiefs have arrived in Vegas, and we'll get ready for the big game on Sunday. We'll talk about that and also what
your thoughts on the Pro Bowl. I know you watched.
I actually did. I'll admit it, I did. And
all right, we'll get into it.
We'll talk about it for sure. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I feel like this could be like the intro to the Grammys. Here's your host, Big Joe Dubin.
Yeah, I'd take that. It was good. Like Billy Joel last night was great. I mean, yeah. it was a pretty good show. Stevie Wonder, although the 2.5 seconds they gave to Jimmy Buffett in memoriam was kind of ticked me off a little bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Tony Bennett part was cool. Like, they didn't really sync up very well.
Right.
When Stevie was trying to sing with him.
Yeah.
But it was still cool that they tried it and had Tony on the screen.
Here's my thing, all right? I know Stevie's iconic and everybody iconic. I don't want to see you. Show me the screen of the people that have passed away,
yeah.
right? Show me the people
right.
that have passed away. And don't keep cutting back to the different singers like Annie Lennox and then Stevie Wonder and a few other people. Just show me the people that passed away. And I was glad they put, for those that grew up here, know who Charlie Monk is. He's an iconic
yeah.
country DJ.
I didn't know he had passed away.
They put him in the In Memoriam, which was really, really cool. So thumbs up to the Grammys for that right there.
Yeah. So that show was last night. You mentioned the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I did watch some of it. I mean, it's stupid and I think All-Star games in general, like I watched a little bit of the NHL All-Star game too. They've lost me with those. But I did find myself watching it and basically said, well, this is why they keep doing it. Because they had 55,000 people there.
Yeah.
For a flag football game.
Yep.
And tug of war and all these other little things that they did. And what was funny is I found myself getting mad because I'm like, why would you not, for the tug of war, have Derrick Henry tugging the rope? Like, I get putting the linemen and everything in the back and have them pulling, and they had a kicker out there for one doing it. But like, why would you not put Derrick Henry on that?
I totally agree. Yeah, and I think it's good putting it in a city that does not have an NFL team. Even like,
yeah,
that it's not bad. Don't put it. You know, last year was what, in Vegas, I think it was, and
yeah.
now you know they had. Then I enjoyed the quarterback challenge of throwing the ball. You know, Tua was awful doing that. But those were fun things. And, you know, I popped on a watch for a little bit because there's, you know, we all like watching football. And I'm not going to watch anything
I mean,
else.
It was a depressing weekend because there was no football except
right.
for that. That was it. That was all you were going to get. And
yeah.
It was like, you know.
I pulled up some old Pro Bowl on YouTube because I was like, I kind of miss the old day. And I mean, those Pro Bowls, I'm talking the 70s and 80s. Those guys just beat the snot out of each other in those
games. I
know. Games.
Well, they on Instagram or something, they had clips of, like, greatest Pro Bowl moments. Remember when Sean Taylor just, like, knocked the crap out of that dude?
Was it Mark Brunell?
Yeah, Mark Brunell. That's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, in the Pro Bowl. Just, like, knocked him clean out.
Yeah, almost. Those are great. But I have a friend that was there, and he posted, said that, you know, it was perfect. The weather, the atmosphere, the excitement, good. I mean, if they had it here, you know, maybe one day if they have it in the new stadium, people would go and see it, and a lot of fun. They made it fan-friendly because they knew they were losing.
Yeah.
And didn't the baseball All-Star game make it where – did they get rid of it, though? If the American League wins, they get home field advantage.
Yeah, they got rid of that. It was that. They tried that for a few years. I thought that was dumb, too. Don't make an exhibition game mean anything.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. Just go out and play baseball. Have fun. And see. They've all evolved because – you know, now if you go – I go back to Robert Edwards, running back out of Georgia, played at New England in the late 90s, was a hell of a running back. I mean, he was fantastic. Goes in the Ricky Pro Bowl League game in Hawaii on the sand, blows his knee out, blows like his nerve inside the knee out. He was never the same. So I get why guys don't want to do that because you're done. He would have been one of the best run, well, not ever, but he was on his way to being a really, really good running back.
And that's my thing, too. Like, a guy shouldn't be punished if he opts out, you know, if you don't want to play in an All-Star game. Like, I think the NHL, like, if you're elected to the All-Star game, and I don't know if this is still a rule, but and you don't play, you get suspended for the first game back. I think that's dumb. Like, you know, if you don't want to risk injury.
Really? That's a rule?
Yeah. I know. Because Ovechkin got – like, I think – I can't remember when it was Ovechkin got suspended because he missed one. I don't know if they got rid of that or not, but I probably should know
goodness.
That. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, meh, you know, with them. I mean, even NASCAR, the All-Star Race, they did it at North Wilkesboro, which is a historic track. That was cool, but it was boring last year because Larson ran away with it, and it's just like
– right.
You know.
I didn't know that was a rule. By the way, Robert Edwards, I'm looking it up – he hurt his knee so bad he barely escaped without having his leg amputated below
jeez,
the knee.
Good Lord.
I was told he might not ever walk again. He did, and he came back and played for Miami in 2002, but was never the same. I mean,
yeah.
So you think of – I mean, here's an example. I mean, I know it's kind of a freak incident, but you don't play in that game, which really means nothing, and your career would have been quite different. But he was – I mean, he was an amazing running back at Georgia. So – I get it, and I understand why those guys don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So Super Bowl week, you know, Derrick Henry goes to the Pro Bowl. Obviously, he's asked quite a bit about his future and pretty much gave the same answer that he'd given all of us of, you know, never been to free agency before, going to wait and see. You know, Brian Callahan seems cool, yada, yada, yada. So very noncommittal because that's all he can say. I mean, that's the only answer he has. So I don't but I did see that I think it was Bleacher Report or something put out like the best fits for free agents, and everybody seems to be pointing to Derrick Henry and the Ravens just makes so much sense, which would break everybody's heart if yet another Titan great goes to purple.
Right. Here is the best landing spots for the top free agents. Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Derrick Henry to the Titans. This is from Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Josh Jacobs to the Titans.
That'd
Austin
be interesting.
Eckler to the Cowboys and Tony Pollard.
To the Texans.
To the Texans.
Yeah.
I think Cowboys let him go.
They tagged him last year, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think they'd like to keep him. I'll tell you what, like, the Cowboys, a 1-2 punch of Pollard and Derrick Henry would be pretty good.
Oh, absolutely would be.
But, you know, if you lose Pollard, you get Eckler, okay, that's probably not terrible. And then Josh Jacobs here would be interesting.
But if it's the same money as – well, I don't think Derrick Henry wants to come. What if it's the same money? Like, Derrick Henry.
If it's the same money, I'd rather keep Derrick.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Josh Jacobs, I think, is a little younger, but not by much.
No, not at all. And then, you know, but this all could, you know, domino effect. If Barkley doesn't go to the Eagles.
5 years. Jacobs 25. Okay. I didn't realize he was that young.
Young guy.
Yeah.
He's young.
So.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, it's Derrick Henry to the Ravens. That.
I mean, look, it is what it is, but
I can see.
But could you imagine like Lamar and Derek in that offense?
No, I don't want to. No.
I mean, you know, you talk about like, well, who's going to take carries away from Derek? Well, it'd be the quarterback.
Right. But just have him pounded in there, man, and have Derek just sitting there and know that he's a, you know, 12 to 14 rushes a game and big spots like that would be fantastic. I'm seeing if the because for some odd reason, like the Titans and the Ravens play every year in the regular season. They do not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Play next year.
Because of the way things shook out. But, yeah, I don't know. And there's going to be a lot of time for the free agency speculation and talk. But it's hard to believe that it's a little over a month away from all that starting.
Don't they have the week of tampering and all that goes on?
Yeah, that's legal tampering period. Is I will tell you when it is because I was looking at this recently.
So
March
before?
11th through 3rd or 13th.
Okay,
11th through 13th is legal tampering period.
What a great oxymoron! This drives me insane. Legal tampering. I mean, it's better than the days of at 11:01 when Albert Haynesworth, because it was Eastern time, but Central here signed with the Redskins.
Yeah, I asked Floyd. I was like, so Do you wish that you had a legal tampering period? And he laughed and goes, we just had the old illegal tampering.
Of course they did.
Like, Floyd, none of that went on, right? Yeah, sure.
Oh, of course they did, yeah. Good. That's the way it should be.
Wasn't it Albert that was,
yeah.
Was basically like,
yep,
you know.
Yeah, it was.
That started the rule.
I think it finally got released out like 2 o'clock, and I think Jim White released it like 2:30 in the morning or 2:45 in the morning, up all night, and it finally came out that way. But, I mean, how are you going to work the details in 60 seconds, right? If you're not, I mean, it's like 60 seconds, go to them and say, here's $110 million, $55 million, whatever it was, to get that done. Because that was crazy. And then it was like the next year was – Vandenbosch, like I think Schwartz was knocking on Vandenbosch's door on the Governor's Club at 11:01, said, hey, we're going to sign you too right then. So it went different ways. But I think the legal tampering is a good thing now. They get it all out in the open and kind of speculate what happens.
Yeah, so we will see. But it is Super Bowl week. Brett Kern, of course, was a part of that last year. We'll get his thoughts on that and some other things going on in the NFL. We'll do that here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Most in the league, and Kern gets a line drive punt away that's bounding to a halt at the one. Perfection.
Next time you walk by me without giving me a high five, we're going to have some problems.
High five, Brett.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brett Kern joins us now here on the program. I don't remember what game that was. What do you remember? What game that was, Brett?
Which is the Patriots punt or the one with Big Jeff?
Was it Jeff? Was it Big Jeff? That's what producer says.
Yeah, Big Jeff and I had a conversation. We had a little come to moment. You know, I think we were playing the Texans, so it was after a sack that he had on a pretty good stunt, and you know, I had my hand out there for a high five, you know, for congratulations, and I was just. You know, just walk right by me. So I had to let him know I didn't appreciate that, and I was just there for some encouragement and to give him a high five. And I just, you know, he knew he was going to get paid a big contract, and I just wanted to keep him humble and just really know who had been around that building a long time and who was boss. So
yeah, you proved the point too. Good for you. Good job, that. Brett. Why is that? You should make that Jim Nantz call right there your ringtone on your phone.
Oh gosh, I tell you what, if I could just have, you know, because Jim, I think he lives around here now, and so just to be able to potentially meet him and just have him kind of reenact you know, that play again or something like
right.
that, but. You know, if I can make that a ringtone of some sort,
yes.
or maybe my alarm clock, you know, when I wake up in the morning to get the kids ready for school and just have the words of Jim Nantz, you know, punt down at the 1 yard line against the Patriots to end Tom Brady's career in New England would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I would go to a restaurant and put your phone on the table and have friends call you like 7 times. Like, is that my phone? Is that mine? What in the world? And have it that way. That way people would know.
Jim Nantz saying my name. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on here.
So, Brian Callahan continues to build his coaching staff. And the thing that's interesting to me, and I mean, he's brought in, you know, some of these assistants like Frank Bush, Steve Jackson. They've been here before with the Titans, bringing them in. They've obviously been around the league. But when it comes to the coordinators, not a lot of experience. So you have a rookie head coach slash play caller, rookie OC, rookie DC. You're bringing in Bill Callahan to coach the offensive line, who has experience. But what do you think about how he's putting this all together?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a really good job. I think, first of all, it's awesome that, you know, he could bring his dad in, really kind of help, you know, with him being his first time being a head coach, right? And to have somebody like Bill, you know, obviously your dad to come in, who's been a head coach and has been around the block and is probably one of the most well-respected position coaches, you know, in the NFL, right? And so for him to be able to come in, to get his pops to come in, help him out and to get through this experience. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that Brian's doing is he's hiring guys that he trusts, which is kind of a slippery slope. Like, you don't want to bring in the guys that are like the yes men that say, hey, I want to do this and this, right? Yes, that's great. You know, I think you should do that. And they're constantly kind of saying yes because they're, you know, your buddy, or they might be fearful of what happens if you say no, right? But I think it's guys that he trusts. I mean, I think Nick, if I'm correct, I think Nick and him, Holtz, the new OC, they played high school football together, right? So, you know, yep. That relationship, you know, you go with your high school buddy, like I'm sure Nick has told Brian no multiple times, right? So, you know, Nick's been around. I mean, you know, for him to be with the Raiders for 10 years and to go through four coaching changes through that time period says a lot about who he is, what he knows. Obviously, he's well-versed in the systems that he's been around, you know, West Coast, whatever you name it. I think he's been around it. And what he's done, even last year with the Jags, you know, the passing game coordinator did really well. And so I know his name was hot, but for him to come here, and Brian, you know, calling the plays, right? I think that's the first and foremost. So to bring Nick in to really help him formulate game plans, you know, that ABC game plan. And same with Denard. I mean, Denard's been around. I was with in Philly with him last year. Great guy. I know the defense loved him. I was kind of sad that KB missed out, you know, being with him when he went up there this year. But, you know, it's a guy that's been around. He's been under guys like Bowles and Greg Williams. And so these guys have kind of paid their time. They paid their dues to get to the spot where, hey, I'm ready to be an OC. I'm ready to be a DC. And I think it'll be a good opportunity for them, and I think it'll work out well.
Brett, what would be your piece of advice to give to Brian Callahan when he's looking for a special teams coach, what he needs in that position?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think it kind of depends on what Brian, what his philosophy is with special teams, right? Is he kind of the play it safe, you know, in certain situations? Is it more or less, hey, you know, on punt return, because I want to set my offense up, get me a guy that can just catch the punt. And if he gets 5-10 yards, great. Or is it, hey, we're going to rush the punter. We're going to make him feel comfortable. We're going to run fake punts, right? Because there's different philosophies, different guys, different coordinators kind of have different thinking on that kind of stuff. And, you know, they like to, you know, get a little tricky with certain things on returns or their types of punt rushes. And so I think it just depends on what he feels most comfortable with. And then somebody that obviously is great relationally, that knows the schematics, but I mean, you can also bring in an assistant special teams coordinator to help out with that. But, you know, I think we talked earlier, you know, special teams, you pretty much meet with everybody at some point during the week. And so someone that can relate to all the guys, I think it's going to be very important. So I'll be really curious to see who he goes and gets.
Brett, when you were with the team, when all these changes went on with new coaches, hiring assistants, how did you always find out? Did you find out through TV, radio, tweets, or teammates? How'd you find out?
Well, before social media, usually you'd kind of get a text message from, like, I remember when Jim Wyatt was working for the Tennessean, and he would text me like, hey, are you excited to have such and such as your coordinator? I'm like, oh, cool, thanks. I should probably go look and see, you know, where he's been and what he's done, right? And then obviously with social media, Twitter, a lot of times I just found out through Twitter, right? You find out who's going to be your head coach, your coordinators, your special teams coordinators, all that kind of stuff. Same with like free agency, right? You just kind of, you hop on Twitter and it's like, oh, hey, the Titans signed, you know, Wesley Woodyard when he came here. Right. And, you know, so that's mainly how you find out. I think one time I was actually in the building working out. And I think Frank, who was the, strength and conditioning guy, before with Vrabel, I was actually working out and he came in, he's like, hey, I'm the new guy. And I was like, oh, cool. All right. Well, that's one way to find out too. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much through social media. It's not like, you know, you get an email from the Titans saying, hey, you know, we're just about to have this press release and we're hiring so-and-so and so. It doesn't work like that. You just find out pretty much how everybody else finds out.
What, I know last year you were out there with the Super Bowl in Phoenix and all that went on. We talked a little about that last week with your adventure out there. What was the coolest part for you being around all that last week, the hype before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the week before the Super Bowl, so last week for the guys is absolutely insane because you have to figure out your tickets, who's coming out to the hotel, who's staying with you. You know, obviously you want your family to be taken care of, and so how can you best take care of them with room situations? You know, we have, you know, my wife and three other kids, right? So how can we figure out, you know, setting up the best hotel situation for them and who else wants to come out? And it's just crazy, right? But once that's done, once you get out there, then you kind of feel like it's a normal week. It was nice because last year we stayed out. I think it was the Wild Horse Pass, but it was far out there, right? I think it was 20, 30 miles south of Phoenix. So you kind of felt like you were in the middle of nowhere. There was 36 holes of golf, which was great to
nice.
Go play on Tuesday, the day off, which was really, really good, just kind of leading up to that week. But, you know, everything, you know, besides like hopping on a bus, to go practice at the Cardinals facility and all that kind of stuff. But you get police – I mean, there's more police cars escorting you, you know, than I think there are people actually on the bus. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And so, yeah, it's just it's a crazy week, but it feels normal for the most part. And then obviously once you get to the game, it's pretty crazy. So,
we're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who's here with us on the program. We saw Derrick Henry this week at the Pro Bowl and you know, you've been to a Pro Bowl before, but kind of different now with a flag football game and not a true game anymore. What do you think about it? And I don't know if you've had a chance to speak with Derek at all, but I'd be curious of his thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch my older son. He was interested in kind of checking it out with the flag football and all that kind of stuff. So I did. Probably the best thing that they did was they put grass over that nasty turf in that Camping World Stadium because that turf is awful. And I guarantee you the NFL PA was like, look, if you want to keep doing this, like you got to put some grass on this stuff. So, you know, for me, it was pretty much like flag football. I only had one punt in 3 years of going. So I, you know, it was relatively easy for me, but, I think it's good. The transition to flag football and, you know, guys aren't hitting each other and all that kind of stuff. And so it's an all-star game, right? I mean, I don't know how you best go about doing it in a highly, you know, contact sport without anybody getting hurt. So I'm sure it was great for Derek just to be able to go down there, have fun with his family. I know in Orlando it's a really, really good time with the Disney that they set up for you and Universal Studios and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure he had a great time with his family. And I'm sure he is probably in a situation where, you know, we bring in, you know, Bill Callahan, who's probably the best offensive line coach in the league, and Brian, who still wants to be physical and run the ball. And so kind of like, where's my place, right? You know, if you're bringing in another running back, you know, I'm not sure. I know the running back class is loaded as far as free agents, Eckler and Josh Jacobs and all stuff. Well, they're going to command a higher price, right? And really, would you rather have a Josh Jacobs or a Derrick Henry in this type of system? I don't know. That's up for Rand and Brian and Bill and all those guys to figure out. But, like, for me, I'd rather see 22 still in a Titans jersey, you know, running through people and, you know, helping the team win games. So, but I know he's probably potentially anxious to maybe try free agency. But I think in his heart he probably still wants to be here. But we'll see. We'll see what happens for him.
How many Pro Bowls did you get to, Brett?
I did the trifecta. I did three in a row, which was pretty crazy. And the first year I went, I had a sports hernia, and so I actually punted the last 10 games of the year with a tear in my abdomen, which was not great. But it was the first year I made a Pro Bowl, and they were like, hey, you know, you should probably get this, you know, surgery, you know, after the season. I think it was after the New England game. Beat the Chiefs, and then we went to New England and lost. And I remember thinking, no. This is my first Pro Bowl. Like, I've kicked 10 games on it at this point. Like, I'm going down there. And I told Tomlin, Mike Tomlin was the head coach. I said, look, I got a sports hernia. I can barely get my leg above my hip. And he goes, dude, I got you, man. We're not going to punt. Don't worry about it. Okay. And so literally the first, I think it was the second possession. It was like 4th and 8 on our own 30. And I'm thinking, oh, I mean, we got to punt. And I kind of start jogging out there, and Mike looks at me and he's like, hey, man, get off. I told you we're not punting. Get off the field. Like, all right, here we go. Yes. I immediately took my helmet off, put my ball cap on, and, you know, I just was a spectator the rest of the day. So it was a good experience. But it's fun. It's a fun week. It's a good little reward for kind of the end of the season. So
he followed that up with, Brett, this is the standard, okay? The standard is the standard from Mike Tomlin.
He was great. And, you know, Danny Smith, the special teams coordinator, he's an awesome guy. He probably chews the most bubble gum, you know, in poundage per season. That man can chew bubble gum like no other. But, yeah, I mean, I think the second year I might have had one punt just because it was raining. It was pouring so bad, and there was maybe 10,000 people there. And then last year, I don't think I punted again. I mean, it was just a fun week. And people don't want – I mean, people aren't there to see punters punt and kickers kick, right? They want to see, you know, all the big names and all that stuff. So I was perfectly fine with sitting on the bench watching these guys play.
It's like Madden. You don't punt on Madden.
Hey, if you punt, that's why people always ask me, like, man, you had a, well, you know, what do you think about your rating on Madden for punting? I'm like, if you're using me on Madden, you got a problem.
So let's just... Yep. Brett, appreciate it as always, and we will get your thoughts on the Super Bowl next week.
Yeah, it'll be tough. I don't know if I'll watch or not, but I guess I'll watch just so I can, you know, talk to you guys on Monday on the radio. So
well, you want to see what happens with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's okay. It's fine.
Absolutely not. Please, no.
Thanks as always. Have a good week.
Yep. Take care.
That's Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. As he does every Monday at 9:30, and yes, we're all going to get worn out with Kelce and Taylor Swift.
No, we're not. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world though, where you didn't? I mean, no offense, Brett, we love you, but no more punting. Just you got to go for it.
I notice you say that when I hang up.
All right, I'm not going to do that when he's on here. Mike Tom, like, we ain't going to punt, man.
I told you, we're not punting.
UFL is right around the corner. You have a new little punting format in that, I believe.
Oh, what really? Is
the UFL?
Oh, okay.
You know, when you go for two and you want to get the ball back, it's like a 4th and 18 yeah. instead of, you know, kicking to get the onside. You throw the ball, get the conversion.
You know, we've talked about this before. Some of those ideas are fantastic. The NFL's not going to adopt those because NFL be like, well, you took that from that league or whatever league. But when the UFL becomes a farm league for the NFL, which I think it's heading that way.
Sure,
I
and think, that's an XFL rule.
Yep, and I think they should adopt. Do that. I mean, that's – you know, now at the point, the kick. Oh, we'll get into it later, but the kickoff should just be done because.
Yeah, it doesn't. Nope. Doesn't matter anymore. We'll talk more about that. And, you know, speaking of the UFL and somebody involved in the UFL, I have a little rant on that individual and what's happening. Actually, my rant is more towards you. We'll do that coming up next.
What, me?
No, the people. Oh. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game here on this Monday, broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. And we're presented by Regal Realty Group. I've got some Belmont tickets to give away and a really big, really big prize that we're going to give away in the second hour. And we're going to make you work for it, too.
Ooh, what's that? Do I know yet or no?
How about Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium?
That's pretty big.
But we're going to make people tell some stories as a part of Love Week, Valentine's Day.
Oh,
so
nice.
So you got to earn it. So okay. We'll tell you more about that in the second hour. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but, I mean, we probably could get away with it because ESPN's talking about it. It's been on TMZ. I mean, it's been on all these major sports platforms, and that's wrestling. And what happened Friday night with The Rock coming back to WWE. And, you know, one thing I'm going to say about this, just a little disclaimer, I don't. If you're in the crowd that's like, it's scripted, it's fake, then don't even respond because I don't care.
Okay.
Because we got it. Like that. You're gonna add nothing to the program if you do that. So, so The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I think we can all agree that his acting career has kind of not gone well. Maybe it's hit a wall to this point.
I would agree to that.
Black Adam wasn't good. He's had some movies that were not very good.
There's not a lot of buzz around the entertainment side.
Not a lot of buzz. So he's been doing other things. So he bought the XFL. He's merged it with the USFL, created the UFL. Great. And you're right. I think that's going to become a development league for the NFL here soon. Well, he's also been making more appearances with WWE and gone back to what made him who he is, and that's pro wrestling. Great. Been fine. He's 50 years old, still in great shape. It's been cool to see.
Okay.
So for years, there has been this build and this rumor and this desire to have a match between him and Roman Reigns, who is the current Universal Champion. They had to create a separate championship just because they've billed Roman as this greatest of all time. He's been the champion for over 3 years, and nobody's beat him. And so they've been, you know, and he and Rock are cousins in real life. Like, they're from Rock's mother's side. So there's been this whole build of put them at WrestleMania, and they finally fight. Well, a few months ago, Rock teases it and says, you know, when The Rock goes out to get dinner, should he sit at the bar? Should he get a booth, or should he sit at the head of the table? Because Roman calls himself the head of the table. So everybody goes nuts. Like, oh, it's finally happening. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. Well, in the meantime, they've been building this story of Cody Rhodes, who's the son of the late great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Wins the Royal Rumble last year, main events WrestleMania against Roman. He loses. It wasn't a clean finish. So it sets up, okay, there's going to be a sequel. There's going to be a rematch at some point. Well, fast forward to they've teased the whole Rock Roman thing, but then it's okay, they're not going to do it at WrestleMania. They're going to do it in Perth in Australia for Elimination Chamber, and then it's going to be Cody Roman 2 at WrestleMania. Okay, cool. He wins the Royal Rumble again. He immediately points at Roman Reigns, says, "I'm coming for you." All right. The hype train's on. Everybody's excited. Road to WrestleMania. Well, in the midst of all that, two major things happen. There's this whole lawsuit and scandal with Vince McMahon, which is just awful. I mean,
true.
Very terrible.
Right.
Brock Lesnar is now in that. So that takes Brock out of Mania because he was supposed to come back and be a part of things. He's done and being erased from history, essentially, with all this. And then CM Punk, who had returned to the company, gets hurt in the Royal Rumble, and now he's out for WrestleMania. So The Rock, is now on the board for WWE. They announced that the week of the Royal Rumble, and basically the reports behind the scenes is he has power played this to make Rock Roman finally happen at Mania to save WrestleMania because of everything that has gone on, and. So on SmackDown Friday, Cody walks out. Everybody thinks, all right, he's going to announce his intentions to, because the Royal Rumble winner gets to pick the champion to face at WrestleMania. And he's going to announce that he's going to face Roman Reigns. And he cuts this promo and he basically says he's consulted a lot of people. And, you know, when he faces Roman, he doesn't want to just take his title. He wants to take everything, but he's not going to do it at WrestleMania. And, you know, one of the people he consulted knows him very well. Rock's music hits. He comes out. They do a stare down. And it basically sets up. Nobody says anything, but it basically sets up that this is what it's going to be. This feels like a Greg Schiano thing. Watching Twitter over the weekend, the fan base has gone nuts. The same fan base that wanted Rock and Roman, and I think still wants it, but they just don't want it right now.
Right.
Because they've set up this story. And I agree. They have set up the story for Cody Rhodes to finish the story and win the title that his father never won by facing the greatest in this generation at WrestleMania. Now The Rock has kind of bullied his way in and taken the spotlight. So I get all that. But it's amazing watching Twitter right now. Like it, like, and what I think is going to end up happening,
okay,
because this is now the segment that happened Friday was posted to YouTube. It is the most disliked segment in the history of YouTube. That's how like crazy this has gotten. I think the fans are going to change the plans because they're realizing that there is so much backlash with this that. If they go through with it as is, now everybody's kind of backpedaling and The Rock's like, oh, you don't know the end of the story yet. We're trying to tell a story, like all this stuff. And basically Cody's like, yeah, no, I kind of got pushed out.
Like, so what's the recoil?
I think they're going to have to reverse course. I don't think they necessarily should. Like, I'm kind of like, everybody wanted this, has wanted this for years, and now you're going to get it, and now you're complaining about it.
So WrestleMania is going to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
As of right now. It's a two-night show, though, so you hypothetically could do both. Okay. I just think it's really fascinating watching the backlash with this. Because, like, I don't care.
So
like,
people wanted Cody Rhodes to win.
Yes. They want Cody Rhodes to face Roman Reigns and, quote-unquote, finish the story.
Okay.
That's like, his whole thing.
What if Roman had beaten Cody?
He beat him last year. Okay. So the thought process is, okay, it's this year. Cody gets the win.
Okay.
So it's, and again, I know it's a male soap opera is what people refer to it as, it's very entertaining to see.
I'm looking at it
how
now.
Powerful the fan vote and the ticket holder. Power, you know, how powerful they really are.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking tens of millions.
Yeah.
Here. Good Lord.
And, like, people are, like, The Rock has been beloved, and people are, like, pissed at him. Like, go away. Like, they're at that point. And I'm like, you wanted this 3 months ago, month ago, you wanted this match. Everybody wanted this match a month ago. But because Cody won the Rumble and pointed at a sign and pointed at a suite, now it's changed everything. It's like,
What sign was he pointed at?
The WrestleMania sign. But, you can do – like, the thing is, The Rock's 50. So you're running out of time to do this and it actually be decent. And I don't even know if it's going to be decent if they do it now. But you're running out of time with that. So, like, if you're going to do it, then do it. Does The Rock – or does the Cody-Roman match have to be at WrestleMania? Like, it could be at SummerSlam. Like, I don't know. That's my whole thing. And I am very much in the minority. Like, there's probably, like, a total of 12 people that actually are on my side on this. But
would you be in favor of a triple threat match?
No.
No, okay.
No. You don't need that. Like, it's a two-night show, so hypothetically, you could do Rock Roman on Saturday and then do Cody Roman on Sunday. Like, and be fine. So, you know, I don't know. I think it could be interesting. Like Marlon says, Rock versus Roman will be the most hype match and biggest gate in wrestling until the bell rings. And it's probably true.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, if you do it, like, everybody complaining right now and is like, this is awful. Like, we want Cody, all this stuff. Guess what you're going to do if Rock versus Roman happens?
Absolutely. Are.
You're going to watch.
Yeah.
And don't tell me you're not. Anybody that says that you're not going to watch and protest, you're lying. 100%. So there you go.
You feel better now?
I do. We don't spend a lot of time.
Are you
going to
watch?
Of course I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
And look, if they reverse course, I'm going to laugh at them for reversing course because that's the biggest problem right now. And it's wrestling, it's drama, that's what it is. Like, who's in charge? You know, is it Triple H, Paul Levesque, is he in charge? Or, you know, is it Nick Khan, who's the president of the company? Is it The Rock? Like, you know, it's just this politics and power struggle and what's been in pro wrestling for years and years and years. You know, but guess what? I'm going to watch. And yeah, if they reverse course, I'm still going to watch.
When's WrestleMania?
It is
next month?
April, early April in Philadelphia.
Okay. Two nights.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's my little rant. We'll get back to other things now, but thank you.
When are they
going to
resolve this?
Well, we got Raw tonight, so you never know.
Oh, okay.
April 6th and 7th.
It's 6th and 7th. That's when it is.
All right.
So we'll get more on the Super Bowl and the Titans coming up next in hour number two, plus Jonathan Hutton, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.